Chapter 7, Pius the Ninth and the Pantheistic Deification of Man. A. The Pitfall of Pantheism. By divine grace, God bestowed on the human race a share of his inner life in three divine persons. Adam lost that divine life for himself and for his descendants, with the result that the revolt of the passions against reason and of reason against the supernatural order, as well as disease and death, entered the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ restored supernatural life to us, thanks to the loving submission with which he met every revolt, down to and including the supreme revolt against order by which he was put to death. As his members, we are meant to go on increasing in his life and gaining control over our lower natural life till death, lovingly accepted in union with him, brings our earthly sojourn to an end. Accordingly, God in three divine persons, our Lord Jesus Christ, source of supernatural life, head of his mystical body, the Catholic Church, in and through which fallen man receives back that divine life by which he is truly deified, such is the order of the world. Opposed to that order, we have seen the false principles which underlie Masonry and Communism and revolution generally. Man, of and by himself, is God, especially when he forms part of a state constructed according to Rousseauist Masonic principles of 1789. Jesus Christ is not God, but a mere man, and he is not the source of supernatural life for man, as in man there is only natural life. The Catholic Church, like every form of religion, is a society of merely human formation, and therefore completely subject to the state God. As man is God, he recognizes no order of society, supernatural or natural, which he is bound to respect. Therefore, he can proceed to overthrow all order at will. Liberty, which is the power man has of freely developing his life in order, is confounded with license and absence of law. Such is the picture we are obliged to paint of a world in which human nature is deified, of and by itself. In such a world, of which we see an example in Soviet Russia, the collectivity is God, so man may and must work for the collectivity God, but as all men are equal in divinity, it would be exploitation if one individual worked for another. Needless to say, in such a world, there can be no such thing as supernatural revelation, and all authority coming from the true God, whether spiritual or temporal, is excluded. We have seen, at least in outline, how powerful and varied are the agencies at work under Satan, ever seeking to propagate pantheism in theory and practice, in other words, to deify man. We shall soon see pantheism condemned by Pope Pius IX as the root error of modern times. But why is the human mind so exposed to the absurdity of confusing the finite and the infinite? Man fell, as we have seen, by desiring in some way to be the equal of God insofar as he wished to rely on himself in contempt of the order of the divine rule. Satan has fallen in the same way, and his temptation of Eve was couched in terms inviting to equality with God. You shall be as gods. He simply employs the same temptation now in another form. Man is weaker now. By original justice, the human reason had perfect control over the inferior powers of the soul and was itself endowed by God with the perfection of being fully subject to him. This original justice was destroyed by the sin of the first man. The results of this privation are called vulneratio naturae, the wounds sustained by fallen nature. Now there are four faculties, or powers of the soul, which can be subjects of virtues. The reason, intelligence, in which is the virtue of prudence. The will, which is the seat of justice. The irascible sense faculty, in which is the virtue of fortitude. The concupiscible sense faculty, which is the seat of the virtue of temperance. Insofar as the reason is deprived of its order to truth, there is the wound of ignorance. Insofar as the will is deprived of its order to moral goodness, there is the wound of malice. inasmuch as the irascible sense faculty is deprived of its order to the good difficult of accomplishment, there is the wound of weakness, and inasmuch as the concupiscible sense faculty is deprived of its relation to what is agreeable in accordance with reason, there is the wound of concupiscence. There are, accordingly, four wounds inflicted on the whole line of human nature by the sin of the first man, and as the inclination to the good object of virtue is diminished in each one of us by actual sin, these four wounds are also the results of our personal sins, which deepen and envenom them. It is thus that by habitual sin, the intelligence is, as it were, darkened and rendered dull, especially as regards the practical order of the moral conduct of life. The will is firmly rooted in evil, the difficulty of doing good is increased, and concupiscence is inflamed more and more. We thus see that the wound sustained by the will is the source of self-love and of pride, and of that sometimes unconscious egoism by which we make of ourselves the center of life. Ignorance, the wound of the intelligence, is the principle of the different forms of imprudence and of that horrible blindness of the mind with regard to things spiritual and to the mode of procedure involved in the divine plan for the restoration of the divine life by the mystical body of our crucified Redeemer.